For most of you here this evening, 50 years ago would, in your estimation, bring you back to the days of men like Noah or Abraham or something of that nature. For it seems so long ago. But there's others here tonight, and for us it's only yesterday. And it does come over my soul tonight, the fact that it's hard to believe that 50 years have passed since that day up on the hillside in Dundonald, when many thousands of people gathered at a special welcome home rally. I should say that we were being welcomed home, that is Dr. Paisley, who was moderator of the church, the Reverend John Wiley, who has gone to heaven a number of years ago, but was then a senior minister in the Free Presbyterian Church, and myself, who was but a second year student in the Free Presbyterian Seminary at that time. We had gone to prison in July of that same year, and that for the offense of marching in protest, along with quite a number of other Free Presbyterians, to the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. The protest was because of that church's involvement in the ecumenical Romeward trend, its involvement in the World Council of Churches, which was an organization that was worldwide. And in many, many instances, it was involved in supporting terrorism, particularly in Africa. And for other doctrinal errors and unbiblical teachings promoted by that Presbyterian church, we were going to protest at its General Assembly. Well, as you know, our parade was attacked, and there was a riot. Well, actually, that's the wrong order. The riot had already started some half hour nearly before our parade came anywhere near the Cromock Square area of Belfast, as we marched from the Ravenhill Church straight down the old Albert Bridge Road up May Street to the Presbyterian General Assembly. And of course, that grabbed the headlines, as you can imagine. Well, the outcome of it was we were charged with unlawful assembly outside the headquarters of the Presbyterian Church. Our defense was, how could it be unlawful when we had applied for police permission and it was given to us to parade? The assembling of the protesters was a result of the police throwing a rope across the road and stopping the parade. So the assembly was the result of what the police had done upon a parade that was lawful and had been granted permission. That was our defense. Of course, it wasn't listened to, and we were fined and we were bound under a rule of bail, give an undertaking that for 2 years we would never do the like again. Well, when we considered that, we said, no, we're not going to give such a promise. We'd do the same tomorrow if it was required. And consequently, because we refused to sign the rule of bail, we were sent to jail for 3 months. And now we were getting out. Dr. Paisley, who had been arrested one day before the Reverend John Wiley and myself, he had gotten out on Wednesday. That would have been Wednesday past. We followed on Thursday, and this great rally was organized for the Sabbath afternoon. There were many difficulties. At first, the government was putting out rumors that it had been banned. And that wasn't true, of course, but these rumors were fed through the newspapers, and people were thus being persuaded not to turn up and not to come because they thought there wasn't going to be a meeting. And as well as that, the original site for the meeting, the man who had granted use of it to the Free Presbyterian Church, he was suddenly threatened by the owner of the land. This man was but a tenant. He was renting the farm. But the owner of the land, who lived in the south of Ireland, he contacted this man and said, if you let those Free Presbyterians onto your land, I am severing our contract and you're out of the house and off the land for good. So the poor man, naturally enough, had to cancel the arrangement. And so at the very last minute, another venue had to be found, and one was found higher up into the hills there at Dundonald. And when the people arrived at the area, the police blocked the roads and wouldn't allow cars up the road. They had no right to do that. It was an unlawful act. But we had a government at that time that deemed anything against the gospel to be lawful. And so the police blocked the road, stopped cars, stopped the buses that people had arranged to travel in, and caused folk to walk uphill, of every age, I might say, a long distance, some 2 miles or more. So every effort was made to hinder that gathering. Nevertheless, some 12,000 people gathered. I heard afterwards from an army source that that was a very, very conservative number. They had their own method of numbering big crowds for security reasons, and they would take a photograph of the crowd and then measure it off and calculate how many people were in, say, a square inch of the photograph, and then calculate it on out. And their estimation was there was at least 20,000 people there. But we'll not argue about that. All Free Presbyterian meetings had been suspended that Lord's Day, and everybody was congregating to that afternoon meeting. Now, there were 4 speakers. Dr. Paisley was the main speaker. Dr. Bob Jones from the United States, who had been very supportive of us and had come over to visit us while we were in jail, he was there to speak as well. The Reverend Wiley, of course. And then I, too, was expected to say something. And being the most junior member of the platform party, I was put on to speak first. And herein lies a tale. I can't remember what Dr. Paisley spoke upon, or John Wiley, or Dr. Bob Jones. I don't remember their texts. And the strange thing is this, there's no mention of it in the Revivalist, our church magazine back then, report. There's no mention of it. And all this you can see, by the way, in that publication I put out earlier this year, A Time to be Remembered, for we have reproduced all the Revivalist reports. But there was no mention of the texts that any of us preached upon. Now, I can be forgiven for not recalling what it was the other men preached upon because of what happened to me on the platform. That particular day was not as nice as the day has been. Today we have had a very nice calm October day, but then it was a bit blustery and there was a wind. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, there might even be a little rain in the air. And when I was put on to speak, the text that had been laid upon my heart a few days before we had got out of jail, because naturally we knew this rally was coming up and I was thinking about it, and the text that was on my heart was found in the book of Jeremiah. Maybe you'd like to look it up. Jeremiah chapter 37. We'll read verses 16 and 17. Jeremiah chapter 37, verse 16. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins or the cells, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, that is in the king's house, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. For, said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Now, my sermon preparation back then, or my sermon notes back then, were very small. And I had just jotted down in the margin of my Bible three little headings. And I was depending on those just to prompt my memory as to what it was I was going to say. Now, this is a good verse. I must not allow myself to even begin to think of preaching the verse. But here's the man of God. He's been in jail, and he's been in jail for what he said and the stand he had taken. And the Babylonian army is at the door. The invader is about to take over the city, and Jeremiah had warned them that their departure from God was going to bring judgment, and it would bring it at the hands of the Babylonian invaders. So the Babylonians are there, and the king says, bring me Jeremiah. And he says to Jeremiah, is there any word from the Lord? And I thought that this was a great miracle. I was led him upon my heart from the Lord, but I saw the relevance to the situation that there was in Ulster in 1966. We had just been in jail. Had we changed our mind? Had we altered our views? Was there anything new we wanted to say from the Lord? And as I say, I had my outline there on the margin of the Bible. And it was a breezy sort of a day. And as I was sort of beginning and giving a little introduction, the wind blew. And it blew over the pages of my Bible quite a few. And, of course, I was speaking away and trying to turn back to Jeremiah 37. But you know, the strange thing is this. I could not remember what chapter it was my text was in. I couldn't remember what chapter in Jeremiah it was or what verse it was. And consequently, all I could do was turn the pages over looking for the three wee words that are written in the margin. And I, believe me, I was only a student. I was only saved just 2 years, 2.5 years. And not that experienced by any means. And it was quite an overwhelming situation. There was this vast crowd of people. And to say I was panic-stricken is probably putting it mildly. I couldn't find my notes, and I couldn't find my text, and all I had was the memory of the words that were in the verse. I could remember that all right, but I couldn't remember the chapter or the verse. With real panic, I was searching, and then I felt the Lord say to me, now, son, you're going to learn something. And that is that it's not your notes that count at this moment, but it's the help that I will give you to speak. So, I think I must have given up trying to find, or at least the search became less panicky, and I probably ceased trying to turn up in my Bible the chapter that this text was in. And I've just preached. I'll tell you my outline. I wanted the people to note the courage of Jeremiah. He had just been taken out of jail, the most unpleasant place. We were in jail. Let me tell you, Crumlin Road Jail was a palace compared to what poor Jeremiah had been in. And he's asked, is there any word from the Lord? Which really meant was, is there anything new? Do you want to change your message? And Jeremiah stuck to his guns. And he said, there's a word from the Lord. Thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. What courage it took to say that. Saying it previously had landed him in jail. Saying it previously had endangered his life, for there were plenty who would have killed him. But here he is repeating it. He hadn't changed. Nor had God's word. You know, folks, God's word doesn't change. And no minister can compromise and say, if I preach this, it's going to annoy a lot of people. It's going to upset people. It's not politically correct to say these things anymore, so I better water it down. Now that's done. But it ought not to be done. Jeremiah repeated, here's what God has said, and he's saying the same still. And it's the same today. What God has said, and is recorded in the Bible, he's still saying that. He hasn't changed. I saw an article in the newspaper written by an old Presbyterian elder in the Belfast Telegraph, and he said how ungracious it was for the Presbyterian congregation to which the alliance, or the former alliance leader David Ford belonged, to put him out of the eldership. How ungracious that was. What David Ford had done was support Solomon. God's against Solomon. And if you are against sodomy, you can't act ungraciously. You're acting in step with God. You're sharing God's view. And that idiot that writes for the Belfast Telegraph, who should have been retired years ago, why? He's saying God is ungracious. That's what he's saying. You can't come along and change God's word. And that's what Jeremiah said. It's the same message. And the message he preached was judgment. Thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. And our message back then to Ulster was judgment. If Ulster was going to follow the ecumenical movement, if it was going to throw aside the Bible, if it was going to depart from the ways of God, as the churches at that time were determined, and they're still determined, ever more determined, then it would bring judgment on the land. You know, since that day, thousands have been killed in Ulster at the hands of those we may call Babylonians, terrorists. Tens of thousands have been injured. Millions and millions and millions of pounds have been wasted. And the moral moral standards of our country have been brought down to the very depths. Judgment. Judgment. And it's still the duty of God's people to witness. I want to salute the Free Presbyterian people at that time who came to that rally and who across the whole country were prepared to back Ian Paisley. Back him, support him, and come out publicly and stand with him when every department of government and every recognized mainline church was cursing him as a man of wickedness. The boldness of the Free Presbyterian people then was to be admired. I wonder, would we get 12,000 of them to stand today in the same circumstances? I'll not go into that, but I wonder. Oh, it's a joy for me to be able to look back, thinking today I was just 2 weeks short of my 23rd birthday at that rally. My wife was there. She wasn't my wife then. We had just started keeping company. She marched with me on the parade that was attacked in June of 66, and she was there at that rally, and she was a few days short of her 20th birthday. Young folk, get into the fight. You don't know what you're missing. I look back on those days with joy. Oh, that the Free Church would remember those days likewise with joy. God bless you.